Thirsting for the Living Water by Victor Manuel Cabrera. As a child, I was never taught to read the Bible. I went to church on Sundays, but I contributed nothing and felt nothing in return. I was disillusioned by my religion. I remember having serious arguments with my mother over a metal object called the Santissimo that my parents worshipped and expected me to worship as well. I could not. I searched for a better alternative, wanting to find God, wanting to know if He even existed. I thirsted to know Him and His words, but I could not seem to find what I sought. There were moments when I felt close to quenching my thirst, when I held my first child, a daughter, in my arms for the first time. I had a feeling that God really did exist. Many years later, when her sister was born, I experienced the same feeling. Once I told my cousin that I felt in my heart I was somehow going to become a priest with real authority from God. She said that was impossible because I had a family to take care of. Most of the time, however, an inexplicable tiredness weighed upon my soul. I was spiritually thirsty and could find no place to drink. In April 1994, I was living in the city of Monterrey, Mexico, earning a living as a taxi driver. One day it rained for hours, sending water cascading down the mountainsides. After driving around in rain for hours, I found myself in a little town about 8 kilometers, 5 miles, from Monterrey. It was about 9:30 p.m., nearly time to go home. Suddenly I saw 2 young men on foot. They were wearing dark trousers and white shirts, and they looked drenched from head to foot. When I approached them, I opened the door of the taxi and called, "Get in. I'm going to Monterrey." The taller one, who had a very fair complexion, replied, "We don't have any money." "No charge," I replied. They quickly got into the taxi. As I drove, we talked. They asked if they could share a message about Jesus Christ with me. I agreed and gave them my address. When I got home, I woke my wife and told her about the 2 young men. "What a coincidence," I said. "One is Mexican and the other is American, and they are both named Elder." "Elder means missionary," my wife answered, knowing just a little about the church. From deep within me, I felt something stir. These young men had left a feeling of exquisite wonder in my heart. I felt that I was close to finding the water that would quench my thirst, that it was within reach. The missionaries came to our home on June 5th, and I was happy to listen to them. 2 weeks later, on June 19th, I was baptized. My wife was baptized 4 months later, in October. Our oldest daughter had been receiving religious training at a school. When she went to church for the first time, she cried, "Papa, this is so much better than what I was learning at school." She, too, was baptized in October. In December of 1995, we were sealed as a family in the Mexico City, Mexico Temple, for this life and for eternity. Now we are a family enjoying harmony, peace, and happiness. We know who we worship. We know where we came from and where we are going. We love God's Word, especially the Book of Mormon, and we love His Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Through these gifts, we have found that well of living water the Savior spoke of to the woman of Samaria. "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John chapter 4, verse 14.
The Very Experience I Needed by Ruth Harris Swanner. Sister Swanner, the stake president said as he sat across his desk from me, "Heavenly Father wants to call you to serve in the extraction program." "The what?" I replied, bewildered. I had expected a teaching assignment, something that would coincide with my past experience. Instead, for the next 15 minutes, the stake president explained the record extraction program to me. When he finished, echoing in my ears, were such phrases as "foreign language" and "commit yourself to 12 hours a week." Then he added, "There are no pats on the back in this endeavor. Your efforts will be an act of selfless service." I reluctantly said yes to the calling and shook his hand as I left the office. Soon, I began learning about reading and transcribing entries from old German civil and parish records. I felt overwhelmed and apprehensive. After several weeks in a training program, I returned to the stake president's office to be set apart. As he did so, he cautioned me not to look at the handwriting on the records as obscure letters or faceless names. See them as real people, he counseled. See them as fathers, mothers, children, and grandparents who lived upon this earth. They loved, had trials and challenges, and now have the opportunity to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized vicariously. In the weeks following, I pondered the stake president's words and prayed that I could serve in my calling freely and lovingly. I also asked Heavenly Father to help rid me of pride. I knew I must serve the Lord and give Him the praise and glory. I began my work by extracting names from German parish records of the 16th and 17th centuries. I was surprised to discover how valuable my high school German class was to me now. After studying the scribe's handwriting for 2 months, I grew to know and love him. His penmanship became familiar to me. I witnessed his good days and his bad, such as when his quill had dripped or smudged ink across the page. On those days, I prayed for special help and guidance. I also grew to love those with whom I served in doing the extraction work. I was inspired by their dedication and the life experiences they shared with me. Not least of all, I appreciated the good sisters who patiently instructed me. Through their loving tutoring, I gained the knowledge I needed to do the work, and my confidence increased. As the months passed, a transformation was happening. I was loving my calling. Humbled by the challenges, I realized this selfless service was the very experience I needed at this time. I am grateful for the lessons in humility, repentance, patience, and endurance that my calling in the extraction program taught me. I am grateful for the opportunity I had to give members the tools by which they can find their ancestors and provide gospel ordinances for them. I am also thankful for the blessing of learning to rely upon Heavenly Father. A Wrong Turn at the Right Place by Sandra S. Kopp. If this doesn't work, then I'll give up, I muttered to myself as I wrote in my notebook, in a last attempt to reach out to a being whose existence I was unsure of. I was penning what I thought of as a letter or prayer to God. As a student attending college in Omaha, Nebraska, I had allowed my studies to lead me to doubt God's reality. Gradually, an emptiness came over me that work, school, or even family and friends could not fill. I became entangled in self-destructive behaviors, and it seemed nothing could bring me peace. In these discouraging circumstances, I picked up a pen and pleaded for answers from God. I asked Him why I was here and how I was supposed to know what to do. I told Him I needed answers soon, and without them, I would find it difficult not only to believe in Him, but also to feel accountable for my actions. On a crisp autumn day, not long after this, I traveled to the neighboring city of Council Bluffs, Iowa, to run an errand. On the way back to Omaha, I took a wrong turn, and in the process of trying to correct my mistake, I ended up in an unfamiliar territory of North Omaha. As I drove, trying to find my way back downtown to my apartment, a sign on the side of the road caught my eye. It directed interested travelers toward a visitor center. I turned down the street as indicated, not sure why I was doing so, but thinking that at least I might get specific directions for getting home. Upon arriving at the visitor center, I immediately spotted a sod house and a covered wagon, which sparked my curiosity. While I was looking over these things, an elderly gentleman came out of the visitor center building and greeted me with a firm handshake and a warm smile. He offered to show me around the grounds, and after telling me about the sod house and covered wagon, he led me up a hill to some kind of cemetery. The sunlight was spilling through the trees overhead onto many of the modest, weather-beaten gravestones. My guide told me of the families who had risked their lives to go west and how people had lost their lives here. Then he said nothing for what seemed like a long time. It was so quiet. I had never experienced such silence. I stood among the gravestones, the sun warming my back against the cool breeze. There was such beauty here, and I felt such a calm feeling that I didn't want to leave. I walked around, bending down every few feet to read the gravestones. It saddened me to find that so many marked the graves of little children, even babies. I kept thinking, why would these people risk losing so much? My guide then asked me if I'd like to see a film about these pioneers, and being intrigued, I answered yes. we entered the building, and after the man introduced me to his wife, I watched the film. It related the story of Joseph Smith and the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. It also told of the persecutions that arose and how the Latter-day Saints had to leave their homes. They journeyed west, and many had died at this very location called Winter Quarters during the winter of 1846 to 1847. Most importantly, the film answered the question I had asked myself in the cemetery. These people had sacrificed and had risked losing so much for one simple reason. They had faith. They had faith in a living, active God who actually directed them as they prayed and as they heeded their prophet's voice. God had not abandoned them, but had led them by the hand, strengthened them, and given them the gift of courage in response to their faithfulness. Before I left the visitor center, the couple asked me if I wanted to fill out a card so that missionaries could contact me. I did so, and as we said our goodbyes, they handed me a copy of the Book of Mormon. After what had turned out to be a most interesting detour, I had no problem finding my way back home to my apartment, even though I had completely forgotten to get directions. Not long after this, missionaries contacted me and taught me about a Father in heaven who loves me and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over time, my faith in God was restored. There was calmness, satisfaction, and a fulfillment I had never known before as I feasted on all that God had revealed and on His love for me. Feeling assured that it was the right thing to do, I was baptized on March 20th, 1990. I had not realized, however, how difficult the journey could be. I soon found out as I experienced criticism and opposition from family and friends. While I faced these challenges and adjusted to a change in lifestyle, I thought of the pioneers. As with them, I felt that God gave me the gift of courage because I had the faith to begin my journey. I am grateful that as I reached out to Him who created me, He reached back and helped me find His church. I feel at peace and know that God does not abandon us in times of trial, but carries us as He carried many of His weary pioneers across that difficult trail that led to a place of hope and promise. End of Latter-day Saint Voices.